Hi, welcome to Backstage with Ron O'Nusty. That's me here on WGMPlus.com. You know, each week we feature some of the backstage, behind-the-scenes stories with some of the biggest names in music and entertainment. And this week I'm featuring a couple guys that were part of a big show that we taped at WTTW Channel 11 Studios. It was called American Garage Cornerstones, about American Garage Rock Cornerstones. And it was a PBS special produced by the Soundstage people. And it was all these great bands from the 60s. You're talking about the Crying Shames, the Buckinghams, the New Colony Six, the Ides of March, the Standells from California, Rick Derringer from the McCoys. I think I may have mentioned American Breed. There was just a bunch of them there that were a part of this very special night. And it was so special that it's going to be part of the WTTW Pledge Drive airing on December 10th and December 12th, which I'm honored to host on Channel 11. So let's get to some of these in-depth interviews with these guys, and we'll talk about what it was like that special night on October 16th, 2015 at WTTW Studios. Once again, we are live backstage on WGMPlus.com. And on the phone, I've got one of my best friends in the industry and personally, because I'm a huge fan and just a respected fan. I mean, he's somebody that that for a long time has been helping me, guide me my career, as well. I've been doing whatever I could to help him and his great band, the Ides of March, Mr. Jim Peterick. Jim, thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, Ron, how are you, man?
Well, you know what? We've been, as I mentioned when I prefaced this call here, you know, we've been doing things together for a long, long time, and I'm such a fan of who you are and what you continue to be. And there's a lot of great people in the music business who've accomplished a whole bunch of things for over a lot of years, and you fulfill that, you know, description. But then they kind of fall back a little bit, and they sit back and they rest on their laurels, and they just kind of let it all happen. You know, they came out with Satisfaction 50 years ago, and they keep playing Satisfaction and collect their check and go home. You are just unbelievable. It's like you just started in the business yesterday. You've got as much excitement as you ever have. And not only that, you're so diverse with regards to helping young people. You see somebody who has that passion. You see somebody who has that raw talent. You take them under your wing. You write songs for them, not only for those people, but even for those who are your contemporaries who are still trying to make something happen with their careers. You're constantly giving back and having a great time doing it.
Well, that's my life, Ron. You know, my theory is we all have a gift that we're given at birth, and then it's our duty, really, to develop that gift and share it. And I was blessed with music, and unfortunately, that's about all I can do. You know, my wife says, "Jim, pick up the clothes on the floor." You know, but my head is so full of lyrics and music. Sometimes I let the little things go. But you're right, music excites me, and not only the past. I cherish the past, as you can see with the show we just put on, American Garage. You know, Cornerstones of Rock. I love restoring the past and bringing together the great people. You know, this show was just an epic night, as you know, because you were there and, you know, on stage with us, and it was just amazing. But I also like, you know, like you said, passing the baton. When I see someone with the passion in their eyes, or I see a little of me in them, I go, I'm excited. I want to help this person, you know, and that keeps me young. I turned 65 yesterday, and I'm going, I don't feel 65, you know. And I look in the mirror and I go, oh, I'm 65.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen a whole lot of 65-year-olds with purple hair. You know, it just doesn't happen. Not on this planet. But you know what, Jimmy? Jimmy, you know, you touched on what I really wanted to talk about today, as we have had so many conversations with this show and you being generous with your time and with interviews, but specifically that Cornerstones of Rock, American Garage, that we did at Channel 11 Studios at WTTW as a soundstage presentation with Joe Thomas and H.D. Reddy. And it was spectacular. You know, I really feel honored to be a part of that. And that was a night when we filmed a PBS special that is going to be aired December 10th on Channel 11 to begin with, before what we're trying to make happen is a national run of this thing. But I was honored to be asked to open the show and be a part of it. And for me, it really was very, very special because I've been working with you, with Carl and the boys from the Buckinghams, and Jimmy Sons of the Shadows of Night, and the New Colony Six, and the Crying Shames, you know, American Breed. I mean, you know, these are all, you guys are the foundation of Chicago music as it pertains to pop and pop rock. And rock and roll, you know, where the East Coast has got their doo-wop and the West Coast had their surfing music, and, you know, the southern part of the country has got their southern rock. You know, what you've done and what you represent really represents Chicago, even though garage rock started prior to the Chicago element. And as I mentioned in my column in the Daily Herald this week, you know, the whole genre of garage rock wasn't even named until the 70s by someone from Rolling Stone magazine. So while it was happening, the genre technically didn't even exist.
No, you're right. And the very first hit that Chicago produced was a group called New Colony Six, and it was I Confess. And when we heard that, you know, I was like 14, and I said, I want to do that too. And we went into the garage and we cooked up You Wouldn't Listen, and then Roller Coaster, and then, you know, the Buckinghams came with Kind of a Drag, and then Crying Shames came with Sugar and Spice. All of a sudden, all these bands that were in the garage were now at the various teen clubs around the town, you know, like, well, of course, the Village, and on and on, so many great clubs, the Valley View Young Adults Club. All these great names, but it was really a community, and we inspired each other. Yeah, we had our little kind of competition, but it was never a mean competition. I remember going down to the great, what I call ground zero of the Chicago rock scene, and that was the Cellar in Arlington Heights, and we auditioned for Paul Sampson, who was the owner of the place, and their rehearsing was the Shadows of Night. Jimmy Sons, you know, in all his glory and his long, blonde, straggly hair, singing G-L-O-R-I-A. And we're going, holy mackerel, this is amazing.
Yep. It's really something that, like you're saying, it really kind of just happened. You know, I don't think anybody set out to do it. But, you know, as those guys in the East Coast were gathering around the street lamps on the street corners and coming up with their harmonies, that's what we were doing here in Chicago and in the Midwest, in the garages, in the basements, and the front steps of the bungalows, just kind of humming and singing some songs and strumming guitars acoustically or whatever. And it happened. And this show that the guys from Soundstage put together, I tell you what, and I know you were a big part of it as well, Jim. The Cornerstones thing, you know, to be backstage and to see you folks taking the stage and singing these songs that really, you know, you guys are unfortunately, truly as much fanfare as your individual bands have received, you truly are unsung heroes of the rock and roll world, you know. These songs are big hits, arena hits, million sellers. Plus, you guys still do it, still sound as good as ever. And this show that we were on, we all came together, and it's one of those things that I think at first really came to us all. We had that Marty Greb benefit. Dennis Tofano put together from the Buckinghams and put the original Buckinghams together first time in 45 years. And you were there. And
at the Arcata, it was a magic night.
It was magical, you know, and all you guys were together. And, you know, I'm standing backstage, I'm seeing, man, this is something big. This is something special that needs to get back out there. And I think that's when it hit Joe Thomas as well from Soundstage. and putting this all together. I hope this turns into what I believe in my heart and soul it will turn into, is a complete resurgence of appreciation for this type of music, for what the songs have done, and for what you as musicians have done to keep this music going. You haven't been sitting back. Sure, a lot of these bands, a lot of the guys now have day jobs, and of course, but they've also kept the music going, performing, getting together. And I think putting this fraternity of bands together once again, and it will be aired on WTTW, on December the 10th, and I'm very fortunate also to be hosting that on Channel 11. It's going to be another night of just memories for not just music lovers, but Chicago music lovers, you know? And who's on that show now? We got, you know, obviously you, the Ides of March, the Buckinghams.
Well, let me, I got it sitting in front of me. Okay, you ready?
Let's do this thing.
New Colony 6. With Ray Graffia and of course Bruce Maddie and Ray Graffia and Ronnie Rice. We got the Ides of March. Of course, we've been together now for 51 years. Yep. And we got the Buckinghams and all, you know, the three really, you know, founders of that band are going to be on stage. Carl Giammarisi, Nick Fortuna, and a special guest, just like at your show at the Arcata, Dennis Tufano, is coming on stage and singing two of his biggest songs with that band. Crying Shame's complete with the amazing vocalist Tom Duty, and James Ferris, who I used to call and still do the Brian Wilson of Chicago, genius musician, arranger, vocal harmony guy, songwriter, ridiculous. American Breed, the original four guys that used to be called Gary and the Nightlights, and the Ides used to go to see them at clubs and going, why can't we be as good as them? Right. Gary Loiso has lost a step. You know, I'm blessed to, Larry's mixing the show in the last 3 weeks. We've been mixing, and Frank Pappalardo's mixing some of it also. And the voices sound great. Gary Loiso sounds so good, as does everybody. It's been a lot of fun having that music flowing through my home studio. We got the Shadows of Night, Jimmy Sands. I call him the original punk of Chicago. And truth be told, he's like the nicest, gentlest guy in the world. American Breed, Elio De Haynes and Jeremiah, special tribute to them. Skip Haynes came out. He's a West Coast guy now. He came into Chicago. He hasn't lost a beat. He sounds exactly like he did when he wrote and sang Lakeshore Drive. Ted Eliota, Mitch Eliota's brother came out. Of course, John Jeremiah has passed away. But it was just an amazing performance. I looked around and my son, Colin Peterick, little nepotism there, he was on keyboards playing that part on Shore Drive and nailing it. You know, I was like I was like the proud father, you know. And of course, we had the homage to the group Chase, Bill Chase's great horn band, where we had a four-piece brass section, not just brass section, but four-piece trumpet section, which was the real calling card of the group Chase. And the original bass player, the second bass player of the band, D'Artagnan Brown, flew in from California to do the bass part on Get It On and the vocals, which I shared with him. What an exciting song that is. And they were, of course, managed by our management, and I wrote for Chase and sang for them, so that was the bloodline there.
Sure. Well, and, you know, there's one other individual. We had the great Rick Derringer there from the McCoys.
Oh, I didn't even get to that. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. I mean, this was a real-deal show.
Rick Derringer and the McCoys, amazing. And, of course, the Sandells, who practically wrote the book on garage rock with Dirty Water. They were amazing.
Which, ironically, is a California band. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Those are from from L.A. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It was an amazing night, and, you know, you look at these bands, and they're still loving it. They're still playing it with all their heart and soul, and the music is still relevant. The people in the audience were mumbling to themselves afterwards, shaking their heads, didn't even couldn't figure out what the heck just happened to him, what truck just hit him, and you're going to see that all on December 10th on WTTW. So, Jimmy, congratulations on spearheading and being one of the guys really making this thing happen. And, you know, we just love you and just can't say enough about what you've done for not only music as a whole internationally, but what you've done to represent the Chi Town, all of us here in Chicago. And thanks for everything you're doing, Jim.
Well, let me tell you, it's not just backslapping, but I feel the same about you, Ron, and the groups you bring into your place and the festivals you put on. You always support the local talent. You support talent in general, but we couldn't be more appreciative of what you do for us because you have the passion. And I saw that 15 years ago when you were just a young lad, you know, and I always believed in you.
You know, you really did, and you're always a great friend. So thanks for being here backstage. We're back on WGN, very excited about it. People are loving what we're doing because we're bringing to them the stories and the backstage experiences of the music that we grew up with. So stay tuned for more Backstage with Ron Onesti, that's me, on WGNplus.com. Jimmy, thanks again. We'll see you December 10th, and happy birthday, old man.
I will do that, and I got to say, let's spin some big concerts off of this thing, right, Ronnie?
Well, you know what? We can't announce, you know, March 19th yet, so we just won't say any dates at the Arcata Theater at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Tickets going on sale soon, but we can't do that, so we will do that soon.
Unfortunately,
we're not allowed to say, you know, anything about the March 19th, the Arcata Theater, St. Charles, Illinois, oshows.com. We really can't say that, but we will shortly, Jimmy.
I wish we could, and stay tuned, baby.
This episode of Backstage with Ron Onesti is powered by the number one live music venue in the Midwest, the Arcata Theater in downtown St. Charles. Log on to oshows.com, that's the letter O, shows.com, for info and new shows every day.
We are back on WGN Plus. I'm Ron Onesti. You're backstage with me with some of the stories, the backstage stories of some of the biggest names in entertainment. And we're talking today with an extremely good friend, a guy who I've spent a lot of time with in this business, and one of the gentlemen, absolutely, in the industry, Mr. Carl. And I think he likes the way I say it because I think I'm the only one on the planet that says it right. As Carl, or Carlo Giammarese, my Italian cousin, Carl Giammarese from
Boy,
the Buckingham.
You got it down perfect, I'll tell you, my good Paisan friend here.
Well, you know what?
Anybody says my name as well as you do.
You know, Carl, well, you are the lead vocalist and the lead, you and Nick Fortuna of the Buckinghams. And you know what? It's funny because there isn't it in the car, you know, in the radio, that style of music, and a Buckingham song comes on, and I will say it. Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Giammarese, I always practice it when I'm in the car driving.
I wish more people would get that pronunciation, you know, because that's, I remember when we played on a cruise ship, and it was an Italian cruise ship, and it was so nice to have the Italians working on the ship actually call us, pronounce it correctly, you know, that was fun.
Well, it's nice to go back a little bit. So speaking of going back, you know, October 16th, we taped this fabulous show at WTTW Studios, this PBS special, a soundstage production, HD Ready, and Joe Thomas and those boys put it together. And, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, you got a company like Soundstage, or a production like Soundstage, that has done everybody from, oh my gosh, Robert Plant to Stevie Nicks to, I mean, just the biggest names. And they give you the props, the garage rock bands of Chicago, of being at that level. So it must have been a magical night for you.
It was really exciting. First, I'm going to say real quick, though, that thank you for having me on. And yes, Ron Onesti is one of my dear friends, and it's always, we've played many dates together. Thanks to you through the years, and the Buckinghams sure appreciate that. But going forward here to that show, it was a magical night. It was just so tremendous to once again have the opportunity to share the stage, as I mentioned, on stage with all these great artists from back in, you know, the cornerstones of Chicago rock, mostly, you know. Most of the groups were from, we all started in you know, garage bands, I guess you call it, or basements, or rehearsing in our, you know, our parents' basements. And we all pushed each other. There was a really, back in the day, there was a, you know, a competitiveness, but it was a real healthy competition between us. You know, we all pushed each other. And I'm just so thrilled that, you know, so many of us are still around and able to do a show together like that. And you know, and Joe Thomas, you know, you mentioned that Soundstage has been a wonderful production through the years. And, of course, Jim Peterick had so much to do with putting it together. And he approached me first about doing it. I was still on the Happy Together tour with Nick when he first called me this past summer to do this thing. And, you know, I was thrilled that we could bring Dennis Tufano on as our special guest for the night. I mean, we hadn't played together other than the benefit we did for Mardi Gras, which was very brief. Mm-hmm. You know, we hadn't really performed together on stage, and it was just exciting to, I mean, all of a sudden it was deja vu. I looked over to my left and there's Dennis there, and then I see Nick beyond him. All of a sudden it transported me back to 1967, you know.
Well, that was an amazing part of the night, you know. I mean, to see the reunions of, there were two very special ones, you know. Ronnie Rice with the New Colony Six joining Ray Graffia, Bruce Matty, being on stage with them, sharing the stage, and seeing you and Dennis and Nick back together as, you know, the original founding members of the Buckinghams back in the early 60s. It really added to the magic of the evening. And, you know, I can really sense, I mean, you know, you call a spade a spade. I mean, you know, bands have their ups and downs. They have relationship challenges. There's all kinds of things that happen during the years. And every band has it to varying degrees. I mean, you got the Stones, who won't even talk to each other unless they're talking through their attorneys, even when they're on tour. So it happens. But, you know, that night when I got there at the taping, and I just was so honored to be asked to be a part of it, I opened the show on stage and welcomed the people. And being backstage and being in the dressing room area and seeing all these people that, you know, you mentioned the competition, whether it was there or not, the competitive nature, you know, you guys are all together. It's like a time warp, you know, that.
Oh yeah. It's a family now, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, we've all known each other, for so long and had the opportunity to do things together through the years, you know. And I want to say you did a great job of hosting it and opening up the show, and you set the tone, and it was just great the way, you know, you captured that whole mood and set it up. And you know, and I'll be honest, I was worried because we were, you know, so many different entertainers and so much music, and I thought, boy, I hope all this works and comes together technically, you know. And you know, the WPTW people and Joe Thomas are so professional, and they really know what they're
right.
doing. And it all came together. It all worked, you know.
The amount of music, you touched on the bands, and I got to mention them. Obviously, Jimmy Peterick, the Ides of March, the Buckinghams, special guest Dennis Tufano joined you. The Crying Shames.
Shadows of Night, the American Breed. You know,
oh, the Standells.
And Rick Derringer, too. It was a nice treat in the Standells to of course, Skip Haines up on stage doing Lakeshore Drive. You know, I hadn't heard that song in a long time.
Oh,
it sounded great.
Incredible. And the people in the audience were just beside themselves. They couldn't believe what was happening. As I think all of us were like that. I think even the entertainers, after they did their set prior to or after to, sat back and watched. And it was cool because you could really see, you know, I do a couple hundred shows a year, you know, working with everybody. I mean, last night we had Frank Sinatra Jr. at the Arcata, and we've got, you know, Whitford and Holmes from Aerosmith and Ted Nugent on Sunday. I mean, it just, that's the variety of things we have at the Arcata. But, you know, these are guys that are great performers. They go up and do their things. Matter of fact, if I could just digress just for a second, you know, I mentioned I had Frank Sinatra Jr. last night, and I was able to interview him for a while. And I said, man, you know what, Frank, are you, I actually called him Mr. Sinatra. He goes, no, it's Frank. He said, you know how people say my father was Mr. Sinatra? He said, my grandfather was Mr. Sinatra. So that's interesting too. But I said, Frank, I said, you know, you're still out there. Well, it's interesting what he said to me because I was taken aback. I didn't realize or I didn't expect his response to the question or the statement. I said, Frank, you know, you're out here. It's a 27-piece orchestra. You're spending so much time on every note, every quarter note of every chart. I said, you're still loving it. He goes, no. I was kidding. He said, no. So this is a job. It's my job. He said, "It's. I have to keep it that way. I have to remain cold about it. I have to remain emotionless about it. Because once you bring in emotion, then your guard falls. And you know. And he's talking about you know being. I mean, really saying stuff that I'll be honest. Usually I say, yep, I love it. I've got passion, and I'm still doing it, and I'm giving it my all.
I wouldn't have expected a response like that. That's you know. Yeah, right. If you would ask me, I'd say." I still love what I do. I love getting up there and entertaining. I love the response that you get from the audience. You know, it feeds my ego. I mean, I love that, the response, you know, that people still remember your songs. And I still love it when I hear one of the old songs on the radio. And, you know, and I'm sure all the other artists that joined us at the Cornerstone show would say the same thing, you know, especially Jim Peterick, who's he's the best example of, you know, always moving and always doing stuff and always creating, laying back on his old hits. And boy, that guy had a lot of hits, you know.
Well, we could spend an hour on that. We could spend an hour on that as well. Another good friend of ours.
Yeah, but he's still enthusiastic about doing his music and new music and all the old stuff and whatever. And he's just, you know, and I feel the same way, you know. I think he might have more energy than me, but otherwise.
No, man. You still got it. You're still doing it. You guys have done so many shows for me, and I sit back and I marvel. You know, I can listen to your music, but, you know, as a show, the Buckingham Show, one of my favorite shows. You know, you sing your songs, takes us back. I love singing it. I mean, you know, Don't You Care is one of my favorite songs. Kind of a drag. I mean,
the Arcata has become one of our favorite venues too to play. You know, we just love playing that room. There's not a bad seat in the house, and it's just, you know, the audience always seems so into it and so aware of what's going on, you know, of every note. And
we've got great fans at the Arcata, that's for sure. And speaking of fans, and that's where I'm going with this whole thing, is that, you know, we're, as opposed to a Frank Sinatra Jr. who punches in, does his thing, and punches out. From a job standpoint, you know, you guys aren't just vocalists. You're not just entertainers. You're not just musicians. I think the difference here and what makes it so, especially that particular night, you guys were all fans on stage. We had two sets of fans. We had the ones in front of the stage and the ones on the stage, because you guys were listening not only to your own songs, but then would do your 3, 4, 5, 6 songs, would walk off and stand there and watch the next band and sing along and marvel along with it and elbow each other like, oh yeah, I remember that one. And, you know, and then, as they say, kibitz with one another backstage about it and remember the day of this. And it just was amazing.
It's exciting to hear those songs for us because, you know, it does the same thing to us as it does to the fans. You know, when you hear a song from back in the day, it transports you back to a certain time era. And you all of a sudden you remember something you were doing right when that song was out, you know. And we do the same thing. I mean, I do it. You know, I have fans that come up to us after shows all the time and they say, oh, you know, when you guys recorded Don't You Care, you know, I just met my girlfriend and it was our favorite song, or we were doing this,
right.
or even some will say, well, we broke up, you know, but blah, blah, blah. But it became a part of their life, you know, and we do the same thing. And you know, and I'm standing on the side of the stage like everybody else, and we're listening to everybody else do their songs, and it just transports you back to a certain, you know, one of the, you know, I mean, I've been pretty closely connected with everybody who was on the show, except for maybe Gary Loizzo. You know, I haven't seen him or heard him for a while, and he sounded fantastic doing
American Breed.
And I told Gary a little story that real quickly that, you know, his first band was Gary and the Nightlights. And Gary was this good-looking kid, you know. I mean, he still looks good, you know, but he was like this kid who could really play and sing. And I remember seeing him at a VFW post in Morton Grove, Illinois, playing. And this was before he's, you know, maybe a couple years ahead of me older than me. And, you know, back then when you're, you know, 15, 16 years old, that makes a big difference. And I remember seeing him and how the girls were going crazy and the fans, and he sounded great. And I said to myself, I says, man, I want to do that. You know,
yeah.
I want to do that. It was an inspiration to me, you know, and I told him that too. You know?
Well, you started out as a fan and it continued to be a fan as you're recording, as you're performing, and you're a fan to this day. And that really transcends from the stage into the audience. And that's how you touch the audiences. So we talk about this thing. It's going to be aired on December 10th on WTTW Channel 11 on PBS. And you've got the fabulous The Buckinghams, The Ides of March, The Crying Shames, The New Colony 6, Shadows of Night, The Standells from L.A., American Breed, and who am I missing? Of course, we got Rick Derringer from the McCoys doing Hang On Sloopy. God, I hope I didn't forget anybody. The Standells, right, from L.A., which is interesting because, you know, we think about garage rock being such a Chicago-based thing. And as I mentioned on previous shows, you know, I mean, the East Coast had their boys standing under a street lamp on a corner, and the West Coast had the guys on the surfboards, and the Southern guys had, you know, that Southern rock stuff happening with the Lynyrd Skynyrd-style stuff. And we in the Midwest, we had the music that was created on the stoops of the bungalows and the basements of the blocks and the alleys, the concrete alleys and concrete backyards and garages of Chicago. And you know, I just want to thank you so much for representing Chicago, not just
Chicago.
Well, you know, once again, it was a thrill for us to be a part of it. And as you mentioned, we're excited about the airing, which is on December 10th, and twice that night, and then I guess again on the 12th they will air it. But we're going to be Peterick and I and you, right? We're all going to be together in the studio.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about hosting that show on Channel 11. Having you guys as my guests, we're going to talk about the night. We're going to share this. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to watch this thing prior to December 10th when we're actually on the air, because I want to feel it on the air with you and Jimmy and who else ever, you know, we may have Sans or a couple other people with us. And, you know, I want to experience it firsthand right there on December 10th. So make sure everybody's watching Channel 11 that night. And we're going to make it a big pledge night for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's a good idea. You know, I want to be more spontaneous and see it, you know, like everybody else. And
that would be
exciting, you know, to get it not see it ahead of time, you know, and that's really a nice thing to do, you know.
Yep.
That'd feel great. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to sharing with you, buddy. Carl, thank you so much for sharing that particular night with me and being on this show, because, you know, so many people love to hear from you and hear what the Buckinghams are doing. Man, as much as those guys can sing, they can talk. But you know what? There's so much to talk about. I could have done that for hours because, you know, the memories and the passion that they have, and we all have. You know, it's just our barroom talk about the music from the 60s and the 70s and foundation rock here in Chicago. Because, you know, garage rock, that's the Midwest foundation pop rock stuff. You know, we didn't have, or we're really not known for, you know, that 50s doo-wop and even Elvis and even the Beatles. I mean, it was nationally big, but from a Midwest, from a Chicago thing, our music really didn't kick into high gear until the mid-60s. And being able to talk to guys like Carl Jim Morrissey from the Buckinghams and Jim Peterick from the Ides of March, two legendary guys who were part of that whole scene, was really big for me. I hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Backstage with Ron Onesti, and I hope to see you again really, really soon. Make sure you check out all the shows that we're having live at the Arcata Theater at oshows.com and see us here each week, every Friday, as we give you a new edition, a new episode of Backstage with Ron Onesti on WGNplus.com. We'll see you next week.